This is... Well, what's a heaven for? A Star Wars Rogue One fanfic, written by Teelan and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated NC-17 and contains the pairing Cassian Andor, Jyn Erso, with additional tags for Rogue One, Some of Them Live, Smut, First Time, and was written for Porn Battle Prompt Stack 2. Author's Notes. I have had such trouble writing smut for this PB. All I seem to want to do is write interaction and angst right now. So this is mostly interaction with some smut at the end. Prompt. Soft. Jyn has learned not to reach for anything, because it won't be there for long. And it would be easy to forget that they nearly died on Scarif. That she thought he was dead on Scarif. That they thought they were going to die in the blast from the Death Star. Battle blood does things to the mind. And so does shared conspiracy. Cassian has retreated. Back to the reserved Captain Andor. Oh, they're friendly. But those brief, intense days as Rogue One are gone. Along with the men whose lives bought them time to transmit the plans to the waiting ships. Jyn knows better than to think that Captain Andor. It's better to think of him that way. Cassian is the man who welcomed her home. Captain Andor is the man who's been in the Rebellion since he was 6. Would really be interested in the daughter of the man who created the Death Star. Still, she hopes. Grief is not rational. Jyn knows she should not grieve the father who helped the Empire, but she longs for the father who she lost all those years ago. The Alderaani know she's not to blame for what the Death Star did, but the Empire is not here, and she is. You're out of line, Sergon, Cassian tells the lieutenant, harshness exacerbating his accent. I'll make allowances for grief, but this had better not happen again. Rank is a complicated thing among the rebels, but Cassian has some cachet. Enough that the man swallows down the rest of his tirade and stumbles off, aided by an older man who shoots Jyn a look that might be an apology. This is my daughter. She was 13. My partner and his mother. Your father's weapon! How dare you live when my Aaron is dead? Or might be a frown. She presses her lips together and takes another gulp of Loman ale. Grief's a cruel master. Wedge drains his glass and sets it on the table with a thump. But I'll have a word with the senior about counseling. He grips Jyn on the shoulder. I think I have a favor to ask of you. You might think it a bit morbid, but it's, well, Luke and I were thinking of renaming Red Squadron. And she leans into the touch, wanting that small reassurance that she is not the monster, daughter of a monster, who served monsters and created a monster that destroyed worlds. He goes, and Cassian falls silent. Jyn stirs a finger through the snacks in the bowl, watching the mix shift with the passage of her hand. Sometimes she wonders what she's still doing here. Sure, General Kraken was more than a little interested in her previous sabotage skills. You were with Saw when he targeted the Corellian Business Council. Is it true he co-opted the security guards by getting one of his own in? So you'd have seen the control room, know its layout. And the women of the Rebellion are more than a little happy to have her among their number. Oh, thank the Force. Someone who'll be practical rather than egotistical. Viewing a double or nothing. Come for the pretty actor, stay for the propaganda mockage. Do you have any idea where you can get a drink in Cascadar without being harassed by pilots? But sometimes, in spite of having found the Rebellion, of feeling the rightness of this fight, Jyn just feels adrift. Cassian's fingers close around her wrist. Jyn, don't listen to them. Your father fought. You fought. You'll keep on fighting. And then there are the moments when she feels anchored, like nothing could tear her away. Jin looks into Cassian's face and smiles, and he suddenly looks down and away and releases her wrist, drawing his hand back. Without thinking, she reaches for him, reaches out, the weight of him against her shoulder, the warmth of him against her side, the scent of sweat and laser fire and relief, and catches his fingers in hers, then realizes her hand is grubby with salt and seasoning from the snacks, and tries to pull away. He doesn't let her go, lacing their fingers together, his gaze bright and naked beyond their clasped hands. Jin, I didn't ask before. Yes. Her cheeks burn with shame and eagerness. He blinks, and his expression opens, surprise and disbelief and a growing delight. Yes? She leans over their intertwined hands and kisses his knuckles. Yes. He crowds her down into the mattress, their clothes swiftly stripped before they climb into bed. Cassian's all lean muscles and long limbs, but also somehow soft as Jin runs her hands over what she can reach, throat and shoulders, spine and back and buttocks. Their kisses start slow and easy, soft sweetness exchanged in intimate heat as they learn what the other likes. They start exploring each other. Cassian quivers when she runs her fingers down the line of muscles that stretches from his hip down to his groin. Jin groans when he sucks her nipple in between his lips, then adds teeth for an edge. She rolls him over and measures him in her hand, propped up on one arm so she can see his face. Just as he can see hers when he slides his fingers through the curls of her pubis and explores with the same lazy pleasure until the ache is sharp as a vibroblade. May I? Jin lets him roll her under, angles her hips to fit him, then exults in the rush of sensation as they join together. Welcome home. Deep and pleasurable, and somehow fitting. He moves in her, and she moves against him. She giggles when he jerks as she gooses him, and writhes when he skates his fingers sharply down her sides. Cassian laughs when she whines that it's taking too long, but his thrusts become subtly uncontrolled, and she can feel him tremble, on the verge but holding back. And when she's close, she guides his hand to her clit to kick her into spinning, spiraling orbit with a tender timbre of his voice roughening as he comes to. She waits out in the corridor as he grabs a fur-lined jacket and shrugs into it, and closes up behind him. Cassian doesn't take her hand, or slide an arm around her waist, but he stops in the corridor to look at her. And his mouth tips up at the corners, waiting for her return smile before he nudges her along. Jin has learned not to reach for anything, because it won't be there for long. She doesn't reach for Cassian now. But she walks with him, shoulder to chest, all the way to the mess hall and dinner. The end. Reader's Notes. This podfic was recorded for Growlery for your birthday. Happy birthday! We don't really share this fandom, but Star Wars and people live and ladies with blasters. So I hope this makes your day a little bit better. This podcast was really cool to record because if you take a look at the text, portions of it are right aligned and portions of it are left aligned. So I got to play around with some effects with the left aligned versus the right aligned to make things sound differently. Hopefully it wasn't too distracting for you. I had a lot of fun playing with the filters in GarageBand because that's what GarageBand is for. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Happy birthday, Growlery, and have a nice day.